Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Yeah. I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family podcast. And I want to say something here before I begin. I have seen and witnessed a lot of history in my life. And what I'm going to say today is history in one sense, not in the grand scheme of things, but it's history. Growing up in the 80s, I saw the Challenger explode. I vaguely remember Ronald Reagan getting shot. I don't remember the event live, but I remember hearing about it, seeing it on the news. I witnessed the Berlin Wall fall. I really did see that. I witnessed Waco. Of course, anybody who grew up in my time witnessed 9/11. That's history. That's reality. That's important. You know, that stuff that if you look at back and people say, well, what can you tell me that you saw in your life that matters? Those are some events that matters. Sports has its place. And yes, it is important because it's fun and everything like that, but it's not on par with those events. But historically, sports-wise, keep in mind, it's not anything on par with 9/11, but you know what I'm talking about. What events have you seen in your life sports-wise? And this is a primarily football podcast, but I'm talking about baseball. I remember watching 1989. I saw the World Series. I was an Oakland A's fan at the time. Still kind of like them, even though, you know, if you know Oakland now, they're not much of a baseball team. I remember the World Series being rocked by the earthquake and people were upset. I remember hearing people upset. Well, they're going to have to stop the World Series because the earthquake, people were dying and people were upset about stopping a baseball game. But I remember that. I watched the seventh no-hitter of Nolan Ryan's career. I watched Cal Ripken breaking Lou Gehrig's all-time games, consecutive game streak. I remember that. I was sick, and my parents left me home when they went to church, and I was about to go to bed when I turned on ESPN when they actually played some baseball games at the time, and there it was. And I said, well, I'm going to watch this. I watched – now, I don't know if you call this history because of the steroids thing, but I was at Freed Hardman, and I watched Mark McGwire hit his home run over, I believe it's the left field, to break Roger Maris's record. I remember watching Barry Bonds break Hank Aaron's record. Again, I don't know if you count that because of the steroids. Hank Aaron and Roger Maris did it without steroids. They did it consistently. They were just that good. You know, football-wise, I watched Steve Young do what he did against the San Diego Chargers in the Super Bowl, just demolished them. You know, you witnessed some history. Many of you probably witnessed more than that. A few weeks ago, I got to talk to Bill Curry, who was living history as he played. I mean, the guys that he played behind and guys that he was coached under, it's just amazing. Some of you probably have experienced more history in your lifetime than I could ever read about. But reading about it or seeing it on TV is one thing, but experiencing it live is completely different. My wife and I, due to my job, I cannot go to too many games at the Titan Stadium because of being Sunday or Sunday night. I just can't. So most games that I can go to are Thursday night games or sometimes are Monday night games when Titans get them, which is very rare. We typically get Thursday night games, and if it's in Nashville, we're playing the Jaguars. I have seen the Jaguars play so many times. In fact, when I tell my wife that we're going to go to a Titans game, she said against the Jaguars, because she knows. I've seen the Colts play. Typically, it's not a good result as a Titans fan. But the Jaguars, on the other hand, I got to see them play several times. I don't think I've seen the Jaguars beat the Titans. I have seen a couple Sunday morning games or Sunday afternoon games where I leave from services. And, you know, I get there about the second quarter. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat to see games, though, live and cold and dark. It's just neat. Well, one game I got to see, and I might have talked about this before, but I was thinking about it today, happened in 2018. It was the only game I got to go to at that time. And it was the game that the Titans played against the Jaguars. In fact, I believe it was December 6th. And the Titans were up at this point. It was the second quarter. They were up 7-2 against the Jaguars. Titans 6-6. The Jaguars were 4-8. And they received the ball at the 1 yard line. They're on the Titans on 1 yard line. And I tell you what, I looked at them and I told my wife, I said, they're just going to run. I said left, because that's typically, if you want to do a very powerful run, you go left due to the blindside back. And I believe at that time it was Taylor DeJuan, so they would have had a pretty good guy to run against. Because you're just looking at getting some room. That's all you're doing. You don't typically throw, because you run the risk of a quick out where the cornerback will bite on the pass and it'd be an easy pick six. That wouldn't be any chance. And especially at that time, all you're looking for is maybe 2 or 3 yards, another 2 or 3 yards, and then you're hoping that you punt without having your punter too far into the end zone. That being said, you don't expect what happened. About 7:15 left in the second quarter, Marcus Mariota hands off the ball. Actually, what's funny about this particular play is Mariota said that he was going to check out of this play. And I'm glad he didn't, because what happened next is history, and I got to witness it. No, I am not I don't have to be at the lowest part of the stadium. I don't have to be at closest to the field. Just get me in the stadium. I've told you this before. Most of the time I'm up at the tippy top of Nissan Stadium close to the fireworks, and I get scared to death every time they go off, because it doesn't happen very often. But I don't think about it happening. All of a sudden the stores are, and I hit the roof. I'm up looking down at this particular play. The Titans line up basically 10 on the line of scrimmage or close to the line of scrimmage, and Derrick Henry in the backfield. And, of course, with the Jaguars, you expect them to play more jumbled up defense closer to the line of scrimmage, because they know what's coming. And your goal is to push them back or to stand them up. Or if you can get a penetration, you want to get either the quarterback or the running back in the end zone, get you another safety. They already got one earlier that day. Another one wouldn't have been a bad problem for them. Well, what happened was, when Mariota hands off the ball to Henry, Henry goes to the left and kind of gets in the middle of a mess of people. And I looked at that particular play, and I think, oh my goodness, he is going to get stuffed, and he's going to get pushed back, and we might get a safety. Well, because of how the defense of the Jaguars bit at that particular play, where they might have had 7 or 8 in the box, if not more, if not the safeties had come up, so it might have been even more than that, Henry bounced out. And what happens with a guy as big as Derrick Henry and as fast as Derrick Henry, that bounce out gave him enough separation that if you watch this play, all he has to do is beat one person off the line, and he basically puts this guy on the ground. And funny, I have pictures up on the wall. If you were to come into my office, I have my college degree. I have Eddie George's jersey signed. I have Titan stuff. I have a picture of John Snyder. I have pictures of my family. I have my article I wrote about my son after he committed suicide. And I have a picture of Derrick Henry stiff-arming a Jaguar a defender. He beats him, this guy, off the line, goes down several more yards, and stiff arms another Jaguar into the ground. And the names have been changed to protect their dignity. But he puts this guy into the ground, rushes 99 yards in around less than 10 seconds. And most of that was bouncing out to the left. That guy ran 99 yards in around 10 seconds, if not a little bit more than that. But again, most of it was dodging people. His full speed and his ability to get to that fast of a speed is incredible. He ties Tony Dorsett's record for 99 yards. The only difference, and I'll give this to show you how good Tony Dorsett was. He, at this time, he was, the time he broke this or made this record, he was a Cowboy. He was a Cowboy running back. Tony Dorsett did that with 10 men playing offense instead of 11. One man did not go on the offensive line or playing wide receiver or whatever it was. He had 10 on 11, and he still broke 99. So that tells you something. But Derrick Henry in this particular play broke 99 yards and just had an amazing game. In fact, Derrick Henry helps the Titans to win 30-9. I'm reading this particular article in NFL.com. In this particular game, Derrick Henry runs for 99 yards. Let me pull down here and pull this up. And not only does he run for 99 yards, I believe he scores four touchdowns in that game. And I was reading recently about Henry, about how he owns the Jaguars. Yes, he does. He basically has a second home in Jacksonville. You tend to think of running backs losing their steam at 30. Derrick Henry will turn 30 this year. I remember telling people when they drafted him, said, why did we get a running back in the second round? We have DeMarco Murray. And I said, just give him time. Derrick Henry started out slow. Eddie George told him, you are better than that. You can do better than that. Just hit, 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 and people will quit hitting you. And in fact, if it wasn't a couple of years ago, if it wasn't for the fact that he broke his foot, he would have broke, in my opinion, he would have broke the all-time rushing single-season rushing record easily. He was on pace to do that. He is part of the reason why the Titans were dominating for so many years. And it pretty much began at this moment where we started to see just how good he was. So again, when I say I've seen history, I'm not talking about legitimate history. I'm not talking about world history that shapes lives. I'm talking about I was witness to one of the 99-yard rushes in NFL history, one of two. So, hey, if you witness this, let me know. If you witness some type of history, let me know at Jeremy_McFarland. Follow me, like, and subscribe. And Lord willing, I'll be back next time to talk more football as family podcast. Thank you.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser-known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.